We're back in Parshat Yitro, and this is going to be our final shiur on Parshat Yitro. And in the theme of hitting kind of all of my favorite kind of file shiurim, my bigger kind of broader shiurim that I've built over the years, this is a significant part of one of them, just like the Emunah was, the Emunah one was in Parshat B'Shalach. This is a lot of the pieces that we're going to discuss today are part of a shiur that I give on the essence of Torah. It's obviously central to Torah, and builds off of the things that we were talking about, and continues to take them, I think, one step further. Either way, it's significant in and of itself. We're talking about much in Torah. Let's talk about what Torah is about. We've got one more. Yeah. Tov. So let's jump in. To keep it in the context of our Midrashah Shiurim, so far we've talked about in terms of the Aseret HaDibrot, is that the Aseret HaDibrot are important, are significant, not just in and of themselves, because they themselves contain all of the 613 mitzvot inside of them. The Aseret HaDibrot then can be brought back to the first Dibor of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shevzicha Meir Tzrayim Beit Avadim. And then that can be brought back to Anochi, and that can be brought back to the Aleph. And what we talked about last time was in the context of the Aleph. And what I want to focus on this time is the word Anochi, but I want to take a little bit of time to get there. Okay? We're going to build back to it. But the goal for us, and that's why I think it's relevant to our discussion, is that a central piece of what we're going to talk about today is building back to the word Anochi. But to do that, I want to actually bring the lens back out and talk about the essence of Torah itself, of what Torah is, what Torah accomplishes, what one layer of Torah's function is within reality. Okay? Ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. We're going back to, I want to start with the first Medrash in Bereishit Rabbah. The first Medrash in Medrash Rabbah. The first Medrash in Medrash Rabbah says as follows, Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah Patach. Why is Medrash Rabbah called Medrash Rabbah on the simplest sense? Because the first person who opens up the Medrash's name is Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah. That's first of all just point of fact to note. Patach. What does Patach mean?
It's at the beginning of every Medrash Rabbah, isn't it?
Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah? Does he open up every single one? There's no way he opens up every single one. I don't think so.
Okay.
You very well could be right.
No, I don't know.
You very well could be right. I never looked for that, except the first one. It was like, oh, obviously it's Medrash Rabbah because it's Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah. Patach. What does Patach mean?
Open.
So, first to note, Rav Gedaliah Shor in the Or Gedaliah on this very medrash says in a very beautiful way that whenever you see a medrash or a gemara or a chazal, anywhere where it opens up and it says patach, it doesn't just mean opens up. That also that patach, first of all, always introduces a pasuk, meaning when such and such would begin talking about Bereishit, when so and so would start talking about the whole of the Megillah, when so and so would start talking about whatever it is. Patach, they would open up with, that's true. But also patach milashon, mafteach, what's a mafteach? A key. That this pasuk is claiming this individual in Chazal. This pasuk is the mafteach, is the key to opening up the essence of what this whole thing is about. So Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah gives us the mafteach to what all of Torah is about as he opens up his first statement about the Torah in Medrash Rabbah. And he quotes the following pasuk from Mishlei. Ve'ehye etzlo amon, ve'ehye sha'ashu'im yom yom. And I was by him an amon, and that's going to be the word we're going to focus on. An amon. Ve'ehye sha'ashu'im yom yom. And I was a source of joy and playfulness by him every single day. Who's speaking in this medrash? Who's speaking in this pasuk? So claims the midrash, that's the Torah talking. I assume that's also the context in Mishlei as well. Ve'ehye etzlo amon, the Torah says, before creation, I was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu en amon, whatever that means. Ve'ehye sha'ashu'im yom yom, And I was playfully by him also every single day before the creation itself. The Torah preceded creation. The Torah preceded creation. Now the Midrash here is broken up into two parts. The first one says, both dealing with the same question, what is an Amon? So the first thing that the Midrash says is, okay, an Amon could be one of four things. Amon, pedagog. What's pedagog?
Teach.
Pedagogue, right? Amon is a pedagogue, means to teach. Amon mechuse. What's mechuse? Amon mutzna. It's a nor hidden, modest. V'it da'amar amon rabta. And there's those who say amon also means rabta. What's rabta mean? Great. How many potential explanations are there of the word amon here? What else would relate to Torah that's in a structure of four?
There's four different
facets, like drash. Excellent. Kani Resh is a davar pashut, that's what is being hinted to by the midrash. That the four layers of what this amon is are relating to pshat, remes, drash, and sodom. That's something that we've talked about extensively here, so I want to point that out. But we're not going to focus on that part of the midrash. Worth going in and seeing what psukim he learns each one from and how he's understanding them and v'chule. But like, and that's, and it's very clear, and I think it might be that the Orgad Eliyahu in his first piece also links them to Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod, because again, it's sort of staring you in the face. But that's the first thing that Rabbi Yoshai Rabbah opens up with. Then on this same pasuk in the same midrash, he says, Davar Acher. We're going to focus on the Davar Acher. Amon Oman. Reading it as we would say in the Gemara, Al Tikre, Amon Ela Oman. What happens when you change this to Oman? What is an Oman? What class did you take in day school that started with that? Omanut, which is what?
Art.
Omanut means art, yes. So art meaning, it means a craft, any sort of craft. But that's where it comes from. Oman. So how is the Torah a craft? So let's see what the Midrash says. Literally spells it out. HaTorah Omeret. The Torah is saying in this pasuk in Mishlei, Ani hayiti kli umanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was the craftsman's tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yutz. The Torah, I'm not saying, the Torah is saying. Rabbi Yoshe Rab is claiming that the Torah is saying this in the pasuk in Mishlei. I have nothing to do with it. But the Torah is saying as follows. I was the craftsman soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the way that the world works, functions, Melech Basar Badam Bone Palatin. When a king wants to build, a king comes along and he wants to build a palace. When he does this, Eino Bone Otza Midat Atzmo. He doesn't build it of his own imaginings. El Midat Oman. What does he do? What does the king do when he wants to build a palace? Does he start going? Start drawing out plans and grabbing some bricks and mortar and making it happen? What does he do? He hires a craftsman. He hires an architect. Even the king. The king has supreme power to hire an architect. Right? So the king goes and hires an architect. The Oman. But the architect himself, Eino Bone Ota Midat Atzmo, he doesn't build it just on the images he has in his mind. Ela Diftaraut Ufin Kesaut Yeshlo. He has many Diftaraut Ufin Kesaut, right? What does the architect use in order to construct the building? What does he lay out on the table when he starts to figure out how he's going to start actually physically building it?
Blueprints.
Blueprints. Ladat he'achlo seh chadarim he'achlo seh pashpashim, to know how he's going to make all of the rooms and how he's going to make all of the corridors. Kach haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hear the words here, and this is the key of the midrash. So too, similarly, kach haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu mabit batorah uvorea taholam. Put it up on the board. Kach haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mabit batorah uvore et haolam. Quoting Chazal. Mamash Chazal, in the opening Medrash Rabbah that we quote all the time. Chazal. Kach haya Kadosh Baruch Hu mabit b'Torah uvorea ta'olam. Incredibly powerful statement. So too did a Kadosh Baruch Hu gaze into the Torah and create the world. How does that fit in? And then we'll unpack what that statement means a little bit. V'atorah amras. What's the Torah saying in this pasuk? Bereshit bara Elokim. Bereshit bara Elokim. What does it mean? Bereshit bara Elokim. A pasuk we understand that we keep coming back to it, even in the context specifically of these Yitro Shiurim. V'ein reshit ela Torah. There's no reshit except for the Torah. Hayach matat amar, as it says in Mishlei also. In the same perek. Hashem kanani reshit darko. Hashem acquired me as the beginning of his path. So what does Bereshit bara Elokim mean? It means Bereshit. Utilizing the Reshit. What's the Reshit? The Torah. Utilized, literally, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, utilizing the blueprint of the Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create the world. Which means that the spiritual essence of the Torah itself predates the existence of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designs and crafts the blueprint of the world that is the spiritual essence of the Torah. And utilizing the Torah, the world is built in the image of the Torah. The world is built utilizing the blueprints of the Torah, which are the foundations of the world. Which means that every single thing in the physical world, every single thing in the physical world around us is Torah. We're living in Torah. The whole world around us is an expression of, is a reflection of the Torah itself. It's an unbelievable thing, especially as we're in college. Every single thing that we're learning, anything that we're learning in the physical sciences, biology, chemistry, physics, everything we're learning in psychology, sociology, everything that we're learning in the hard and soft sciences, all of those things, if looked at from a different perspective, what we're desperately trying to do is to gain insight into the physical world, which if it's done l'shem shamayim is getting an insight into a reflection of the Torah itself. It means everything that we do in this world, we're linking to, if we choose to, we're linking into Torah. We're literally living in Torah. It's not a cute idea. It's not a vort. It's not a Hasidic pshat, which if it was, would be significant to me anyway. But if it's not to you, it doesn't matter. You can't ignore a Chazal. If you ignore a Chazal, you don't have a Torah anyway. This is just as strong a Chazal. And what's amazing about this is a Chazal that's paralleled almost exactly both in Nigla and Nistar. Chazal said this in Bereshit Rabbah. The exact phraseology in Zoharic Aramaic that's used is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Estakel Be'oraita Uvara Alma. Estakel Be'oraita Uvara Alma. Sorry. Estakel Be'oraita Uvara Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world. Exactly parallel sources in Nigla and Nistar. Nobody's arguing on this. That we live in a reality of Torah. Questions, thoughts, comments, reflections? Yeah?
Finding all the scary stuff, like all the murdering in Israel, is also part of the Torah. We're living in Torah and everything that's happening and current is Torah.
It means everything exists within the paradigm of Torah, including free will, including dualities of Shamayim and Aretz, of Or and Choshech, the requirement of Havdalah between the two, and the Bechira Choshit to make the right or the wrong choices. It's a short and direct answer to a complicated question. I don't want to undermine the significance and importance of the question, but that could be 5 shiurim in and of themselves. Yeah.
How do we know the difference between the drushing and the Torah? How do you know if they're supposed to be taken literally or like not?
I mean, this one's pretty direct.
No, I'm not talking about this one. I'm just saying in general.
So let's keep the questions focused. If we're going to try to cover the essence of Torah, in 35 minutes or less. Let's try to keep focused on the material itself. Questions on the actual text, or on either lack of clarity or understanding, or questions within the text itself. That's great. Otherwise, I would say let's talk about it offline for this particular shiur especially. Okay. Okay. Based on this, we can actually explain a fabulous Mishnah and Pirkei Avot, if you haven't hit it with Chan already. And even if you did, it might be another layer, so when? There's a... Are you ready for this Mishnah yet? No, we're not ready for the Mishnah yet. Let's take it one step deeper. So... Let's take it one step deeper than that. And it's hard because this requires shiurim unto itself, and what we're about to say next takes lifetimes unto itself. And I mean that very seriously. Now I'm going to quote a Gemara. I've yet to meet a Gemara that's had a deeper impact on the way that I view the world or I think about life. Whenever I come back to this Gemara, it's reality shattering. And that's after this one. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara asks a question that we all should be asking in Parshat Yitro. The Aseret HaDibrot begin with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What's the first word of the Aseret HaDibrot? Anochi. What's odd about the word Anochi? There is another, much more simple word that the Torah could have chosen and that intentionally seems not to have chosen. Ani. Why choose Anochi as opposed to Ani? What's the difference between Anochi and Ani? Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu written Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Otziticha Meir Tzraim, he wouldn't have flinched. What's the emphasis of Anochi? So that does need to be unpacked in of itself, but Chazal say as follows. This is a Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Kufhei Amud Aleph. Excuse me. Daf Kufhei Amud Aleph. Short Gemara that says as follows. Anochi is a no trikun. Anochi is an acronym. Anochi is an acronym for Ana Nafshi Ketivat Yahavit. Even put it right here so we need to do that. Ana Nafshi Ketivat Yahavit. I'm going to give you the literal translation so you're not making anything up here. I, nafshi, myself, ketivat, did I write, yahavit, and I gave. Ana nafshi ketivat yavid. I myself did I write and give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is then saying, I myself, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somehow, impossibly so, somehow I took my infinite essence and impossibly put it into a finite Torah. And not only did I do that, but I gave it to you, my people. Ana nafshi ketivat yahavit. I myself that I write and give. Based on what we said before, first of all, that means that any time anybody is sitting down to learn Torah, that means that a person is literally studying, creating a relationship with, drawing oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single time a person learns a word of Torah, they're drawing themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're studying not just godliness, they're studying Kiviyachol God Himself. And I'm not saying that that's the words of the Gemara. I wouldn't have the chutzpah to say that. We're studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we study Torah. We're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single time we open a Chumash, every single time we open a Gemara, every time we open a Sefer, when we're studying Torah, We're studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an unbelievable thing. The gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us with the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving over Himself to us. He's giving us the keys to unlock what it means to connect to Him. He's giving us the keys to understand whatever we can in our finite understand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And He does that for us. We're the people we give the Torah to. He gives it to us. And on an even broader scale, that when we're studying anything that we're studying in the physical world, if we take the right mindset, it means that we're not only living in a reality of Torah. By default, by living in a reality of Torah, we're living in a reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We exist within a reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a totally different way to relate to both of those things. That the world is a place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the world is a place of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the world is a place of a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us if we peel back the layers and choose to see it, and that every time we open a sefer, what we're really doing, what we're really working for, what we're really accomplishing. Can you imagine what a person would, the difference in learning, if one opens up a chumash, and instead of saying, I'm learning God's Torah, they're saying, I'm studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to wonder, do I or do I not have a relationship with God? It's happening right now. This is the conduit, this is the means to connect to godliness. It's an expression of Himself that He gave to us. That's what's happening when I'm reading. By default, without anything else happening, just reading the very words. The Rebbe of Yol once said that, I think this isn't even a story that I heard until somebody else. I think he actually said this to me. I'm trying to remember back. I think that's when he actually said to me directly. He said, Robbie, when you're learning Gemara, given the context of Gemara, he said, when you're learning Gemara, I want you to do something for me. When you're reading, instead of reading it as, when somebody starts talking, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, whoever it is, read it as Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's already not even as deep as this is going. But the point is to think about the fact that when we're learning, we're literally connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're literally connecting with godliness. It's a whole different way to understand what's happening in our Torah learning and in our lives. That we're always engaging Torah. And by default, if we're always engaging Torah, we're always engaging godliness, both in the Torah itself and in life. Questions, thoughts, comments, reflections? Nothing. Then I didn't do as good enough a job as I should have. Okay. Yeah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ano Nafshi Ketivat Yahavit, are the first letters of each of meaning the Gemara picks up on the fact that Anochi is a strange word, right. And the explanation that given by Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara is that it's an acronym, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically chose Anochi over Ani, was to emphasize this point.
So it's in the Gemara.
Yeah, this is word for word from the Gemara. Gemara in Shabbat Kufi Amud Aleph. This is the top of the page. Yeah.
When your Rav said to look at it as Amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar...
He was emphasizing a different point.
Okay.
But I'm saying in a way of... My point in telling that story was is like different ways of thinking when we're learning Torah to remember to remain connected. That's what I'm drawing out of that for this these purposes. But he was emphasizing a slightly different point.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody, intrigued at all? Excited?
Monday.
What? It's Monday, but then it's Thursday, or Wednesday, or Tuesday. There's always an excuse.
It's a day of the week.
I know, it's like, what is this to do? We're going to make class on no day. Or new day. We're going to call it new day. It's the eighth day of the week. It's a spiritually enlightened day, because it's number eight, and we're good to go. Yeah.
So it doesn't always feel this way. Like, some people learn Chumash and don't care. Like, there's no connection.
100%. because the person doesn't have a recognition of what they're doing. That's what we're trying to do here, is to move it to actual conscious thought when we're doing it. That's what I was trying to emphasize with the story that Marissa just came back to. Is that we have to just have the active thought of the fact of what's happening in that moment. What's the spectacular meaning that's happening when we open up that. What's happening right now in this room is we're studying the word Anochi. In a very meta level. We're engaging God by studying the word Anochi, which is telling us that we're engaging God. Telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally in the limud that we're doing. He's right there. But also that when we go out and we're not able to open up a sefer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world as well. It's to a different extent, it's to a different level, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there as well. That's actually what the Mishnah that I mentioned before. Fascinating Mishnah. We'll do it very quickly, and then I want to have one or two more points to wrap up and bring it home. We didn't have so much time today. Mishnah Pirkei Avot and in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. There's different Monei Mishnah, but it's definitely in Perek Gimel. But this one has it in Mishnah Zayin. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, HaMahalich Baderech, one who's walking along the way. Vishonan, they're learning Torah. Umafsik mishnato, and they stop learning. Omer mana e'ilan zeh, mana e'nir zeh. What a beautiful tree, what beautiful nature, what a beautiful world we're living in. And they recognize in looking at that, look at the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Zeh ma'aleh alak v'katuv, about him the Pasuk says, what a person to aspire to, what a great person, what a wonderful person, except not. Ki'ilu mitchayev b'nafsho. That the person's ki'ilu chayev misa. Person is worthy of the death penalty. Worthy of the death penalty. It's a very odd thing. And that's only heightened by what we learned. I'm sitting there and I'm studying. I'm going over Mishnayot in my head while I'm walking down the way. Right? And Baruch Hashem, in this world, what do I get distracted by in my learning? Not the billboard, not the car, not the people. I'm like, what a tree! It's so beautiful! God's world is amazing! Right? Tears stop streaming down my face. It's an amazing moment of enlightenment. Except it's also a moment where I'm mechayev b'nafsho. Why is that? Why mechayev misa? So the Maharal explains very beautifully, and it fits into everything we've discussed so far. Is that one needs to recognize that there are different levels going on here. That when one is learning Torah, one is literally connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. He gives a mashal. He says as follows. Let's say a person was walking down the street. And while the person is walking down the street, so the person's the advisor of the king. And he's walking down and talking to the king. And in the middle of talking to the king, he sees someone who he needs to talk to in order to organize, let me use this exact mashal word for word, in order to organize a birthday present for the king. So he says, excuse me one second, very politely. He walks away. He goes and talks to this person to tell them he's organized exactly what needs to be organized for the king. And then goes back to the king to continue the conversation. What happens next? Off with his head. Why? Because you don't walk away from the king. You out of your mind? I don't care what you were doing. If you really understand what a king is, you don't walk away from the king. Who do you think you are? Person's immediately executed. There's nothing to talk about. But he was doing something for the king. Doesn't matter. Says the Maharal, that's what this Mishnah is coming to say. Yes, you may understand that the world is a reflection of Torah. Yes, you may understand that the world is a reflection of godliness. But what word do I keep emphasizing? What word has to be in there every time? Reflection. What is the source? And what is the reflection of that source? So a person's ke'ilu mitchayev b'nafsho, if they're in the middle of learning, and they turn away from that learning to look at the world, then they're ke'ilu mitchayev b'nafsho.
Mark agrees.
Then they're kilim and chayim. I don't want to buy one apartment. Then they're kilim and chayim and nafsho. But if a person finishes their learning, concludes their conversation face to face with the king themselves, finishes their learning, and then afterward, in a totally different context, utilizes the time that they have where they're away from the king, where they're away from the sefer, where they're away from the learning, to take in the glory of the physical world, whether it's in a classroom or outside, that person's doing tremendous things. But a person needs to maintain perspective. What's the source? What's the root? What is Adon Afshik Divati Avit? And what's an expression of that source? Unbelievable way of understanding the Mishnah. which is classic Maharal, but an unbelievable way of understanding the Mishnah. And also recognizing both the importance of the world and of secular studies in the sciences, and studying Torah, the relative weight of each one, that we can prize both of them, but understand that there still are legitimate levels between them, levels that are so shamayim va'aretz as mitchayev benafsho, but so closely linked as HaKadosh Baruch Hu abita tera avarat ha'olam, and to live with both of those things and understand how to weight each one in our lives based on an understanding of where that's coming from. It's a whole different way to understand what we're doing when we're doing things in our life. I want to now link a few things back to our study of Parshat Yitro and move away from kind of the broader, the piece. This is a small piece of a larger shiur, but link things back to what we've been talking about. Any questions, thoughts, or comments before we move away from this paradigm of what Torah is? I guess I should be grateful we at least know it's Monday. Okay. Tov. Some of us know it's Monday. So what we've been emphasizing previously was how each thing is a core root. Each thing is more and more deeply embedded in the other. All of Torah and the Aseret HaDibros, the Aseret HaDibros in the first Dibor, the first Dibor in Anochi. And you see here, everything is really linking back to Anochi. Because all of the Aseret HaDibros, all Kula Torah Kula, what is Kula Torah Kula trying to accomplish? Kula Torah Kula is trying to build us a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal of Torah. It's a conduit by which we are linking ourselves back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the goal, this is what's telling us, that Anochi is telling us, that the Torah is everything we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create that relationship with Him. And so everything comes back to that Anochi, just the same way everything comes back to the Aleph, even more root, it goes back to the Aleph, but taking it one step further, it comes back to that Anochi. We're pouring more content as it starts to expand past the Aleph. We're adding more content into what that means. That's what it's all about. And so we move into that word of Anochi that sets the tone of what all of Limud Torah, what all of Matan Torah is about. What all of it's about. I want to add one last layer just to finish off. I haven't fully thought it out yet. It's always been kind of enfolded in the Shirim in this Shiur in a different way. But I was thinking about it in new ways just because I was thinking about it in the context of Parshat Yitro and all of the learning that we've done together, which was very exciting for me. Hopefully for you too, although no guarantees today with this crowd. What are the two things that we keep on moving back and forth between in these shiurim when we're talking about the Aseret HaDibrot? And? Two things. The Mamarot and the Dibrot. And I have pieces of the shiur which I've always linked to other pieces that go back to Bereshit, meaning we went back to Bereshit even to get to where we started with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzer Avarat HaOlam. Follow me as best you can, and I'm not convinced that it's totally thought out yet, and I'm open and excited for feedback on this. Okay? On the first day of creation, in that Bereshit Bara Elokim, what we've been talking about previously is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the 7 days of creation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Ma'amarot was building the Kli, right? The vessels of Chol, versus in the Dibrot. What terminology did we use? The content, or would we use a Hebrew word or no? We didn't? Kli? Okay, so we did. Good. Interesting. The Kli, or the vessel, of Chol versus the content of Kodesh. We didn't give it a Hebrew word? Fascinating. Cool. That's good. Okay. Tov. What's happening in Bereshit? What's happening on the very first day? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu create on the first day? Which we talked about already in the context of the Shirim and the Bet. Or Kadosh Baruch Hu creates light on the first day. Now, what's odd about this light? What is it lacking?
A source.
Yeah, it's got no source. Big problem. And we talked about that in terms of the fact, what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates light on the first day? There isn't even a sun and a moon to live for. So Kadosh Baruch Hu creates light on the first day. The Gemara, which Rashi quotes on those psukim, points out that that light is not the light that we're familiar with. That Gemara is in Masechah Chagiga, Yud Bet Amud Aleph, in all kinds of crazy Gemara where it's like, I don't know what's going on. Right? But it's from that whole area of Chagiga with like very strange, interesting, mystical stuff, even in a level of Niglet. And so what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates this unbelievable light. And says, you know what? Hold on. This light is incredibly powerful. They are going to be Rishayim, not Shayach for them, Shayach for Tzadikim. I'm going to put it away. That's by Abdel Lukim Bein Ha'or Uvein HaChoshech, according to this pshat in the Gemara. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead, v'ganaz mehem, and he hides it away. To read the Lashon of Rashi, which just condenses it into simpler. Af bazeno shechim lidrei agada, ra'au she'eno kedai lishtamesh po rishayim v'hivdilo latzadikim latid lavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it aside for tzadikim latid lavo. Kadosh Baruch Hu took this light and hid it, which is known in Kabbalistic terminology, but is relatively well known in and of itself as the Or HaGanuz. The Or of the first day of Bereshit is called the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. What's one place where the light is hidden that's emphasized by this Midrash? We just read the words. For the tzaddikim in Olam Haba. Olam Haba. But there's a separate midrash in Medrash Tanchuma which says no. Or this is Medrash Tanchuma, Parshat Noach, Siman Gimel. Or Shnivra Bayom Rishon Shnignaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'amalei Torah. For those who are Amal, the Torah. That those who toil in Torah. Those who work hard to get to the depth of Torah, the more they work and work and work to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the Torah, the more of this Or HaGanuz, this hidden light, gets revealed because it was hidden in the Torah itself. Now, the reason why I find it interesting that we haven't used a Hebrew word to parallel Kli is that very often Kli comes along with another word in Kabbalistic literature as well. The vessel, what is the vessel in Kabbalistic literature? Do you mean what it holds, it always comes along with? The Kli and the? Very often? The Or. That there are vessels and those vessels hold the light. They contain the light. They're able to hold that Or. Sometimes you have a vessel. Sometimes you have the content. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, potentially again, this, I'm still working this out in my head, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Asra Ma'arot, creates the world. He creates the world using the Or Elokut. He creates the world utilizing this light and knows, and many Mefarshim point this out, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to hide it and not destroy it or get rid of it is because if it were not hidden in a way where it could be accessed, the world would cease to be. This is the light that keeps the world going. So we're left with this vessel of chol, but it's meant to hold something. That's something which it was given at the beginning but wasn't able to hold. And that is the Or of Torah, the Or Elokut. The Or that's hidden within the Torah, the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reflection is in the Torah itself. And so if we're saying that the Ma'amarot are the Kli and the Dibrot are the Or, and the Dibrot is the Or Hashem, the Dibrot themselves from Anochi are showing us that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's coming down, we're trying to link, we're trying to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, so to speak, into the Kelim of this world. Into reality itself. We're trying to unify Shemayim Va'aretz. We're trying to unify the Or and the Kli. We're trying to unify the two halves, which is what we were talking about already, which was the distinction made in Bereshit, that we're bringing together at Matan Torah. Specifically in the Mashal of the Or and the Kli. Why is that exceptionally meaningful in this context? Because, and this very much fits into our Yitro Shirim, which we haven't touched upon at all this piece yet. Who is it that goes to receive the Torah? Moshe. Moshe goes up to receive the Torah. Moshe is linked to Or constantly. In two very specific places for sure, which is the moment of his birth and Matan Torah. The moment of his birth and Matan Torah. Perhaps, if you will, his Bereshit and his Kabbalat Torah, perhaps. Moshe Rabbeinu first is linked to Or when he's born. We're told, Vatira Oto Kitovu in Perek Bet Pasuk Gimel. His mother saw that he was good. And Rashi immediately jumps on and says, Kishinolad Nitmale Habayit Kulo Ora. He's bursting with light. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the person to bring down that Or that's hidden within the Torah when he goes at Matan Torah. Where's the second time that emphasizes his relationship to light? When he comes down, what happens?
His face is shining.
His whole face is shining light. And we had a discussion in our Derech Hashem Shirim about different layers of what that could mean. And I'm wondering, we were trying to figure out, well, if he's already shining that light of the Neshama, which we were talking about in the Derech Hashem Shirim, like, why didn't he just go up to Shemayim, Mechulei, and all the things that go along with Derech Hashem? And I'm wondering if Hafuch, Moshe Rabbeinu is existing in that reality, perhaps in a different level. The Torah is something that exists in the physical world that's Kulo, or... And therefore, the person who's going to reveal that reality to the world, that you could be, you could have a physical substance, but be completely Or underneath, he has to parallel that, and that's what he is. From the moment of his birth, it's genetically part of who he is. He's born, and the whole room is bursting with light. And he goes up to Matan Torah, comes down, and there's light shining off of his face. And so he has to put on a masveh. He has to cover it up. Meaning the light is hidden for the Amalei Torah. He's being Nignaz his own light. Because Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah are completely parallel to each other. So much so that we refer to it as Torah Moshe. We don't use that phrase lightly. I don't know, call it Torah Hashem. Call it Torah Hashem. Why do you call it Torah Moshe? It's not just because, he happened to be the guy who brought it down. I think it's indicating here that there is a tremendous connectivity between the essence of the Torah and the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I think this is a part of that puzzle. That just like that Or, that light from Bereshit, is inside the Torah. That the Torah is screeching out. That there's a unification between the light and the vessel. That there's that right underneath, that it's all one. That Bet of Bereshit is really the Aleph of Anochi. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the definitive oneness of all things, is at the heart and soul of it. With the word Anochi, I am, a definitive statement of singular existence. And the Aleph that begins it, so to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's that joining together of the two. In a different way, yes, also all these in Derech Hashem, I think, are all layers as well. But he continues to exist in this world because he's there to show, to be a living embodiment as in physical form of what the Torah is all about. And that's why he can bring it down. Both in his potential when he's born, and in his actualization when he comes down from Har Sinai, when he actually brings down the Torah. And that all links to the fact that Or of Hashem is all in there. It's all part of the same thing. And perhaps that's why, perhaps, this is all B'derech HaEfshar, just my brain running. Take it or leave it. What do we say about Moshe? Lokam? What does that mean? What does it literally mean? Say louder. There will never be a person who will be in Klal Yisrael like Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is that Moshe Rabbeinu is, wouldn't you know it, one of a kind. Lo kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe od. There is nothing like him. He is representing that singularity, that unity, that oneness himself. That there's nothing like him as a mashal on this level for what we're trying to understand about what Torah is trying to accomplish as well. So there can't be another Moshe Rabbeinu for many, many reasons that it would be theologically complicated to have another Moshe Rabbeinu. But also because he's reflecting that oneness. Because he's living that unity the way nobody else can. And perhaps that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to come down with the Torah like that, and that's why he's coming down with that Torah shining through his face. With that light shining out from his face, as that unification of the Kli and the Or. Of the vessel and the content. Of the Bereshit and the Matan Torah. Of the Dibrot and the Ma'amarot. Coming together in Matan Torah and coming together in one individual. As a Mashal. It said, Kulei Hai V'Ulai. These are all just perhaps meaningless thoughts. I hope they have some meaning to them. Musings. But I think that they are very, very much linked. But either way, whether the parts that we linked it back in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu are true or not, which I believe that they are, this concept of Anochi being at the centerpiece of what Torah is about is incredibly significant, and I would challenge us all. We're not, this is our only shiur for the week, and I think that it should be the only shiur for the week. Take the next week, and then take the next lifetime. And begin to slowly but surely, and I mean this very seriously, day by day, week by week, unpack. What does it mean for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to care about us so much, to want a relationship with us so much, that he's willing to do the impossible and write himself, so to speak, into the Torah and give himself over to us? In a way, to put the last piece of the puzzle into play, or content, what was our last word up here? Kodesh, Kiddushah, Kiddushim. In a way that actually allows us to enter into that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it allows us to understand him. And in the Mashal from our Emunah Shir on Parsha B'Shalach, the Matan Torah is the marriage between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is? Who is he? We're getting married to him. He only gets to open up the veil on our face. How do we get to see who he is? What's the answer? We do know who he is. And he reveals himself to us right there. And tell us to spend the rest of eternity working to link those two together, internalizing who I am, and create that linkage. Reveal that oneness that's really here. Connect that Or to the Kli. Or if you will, and this will actually be the final kilu piece, if this is all right, and we're connecting the Or and the Kli, link the Or, that which is supernal, to the Kli, that which is in the Bereshit, in the lower realms. Create a Dirabah Tachtonim. Create a place for me to rest in the lower realms. Which, linking back to that shir, is that Bayit Ne'eman B'Yisrael, is that Beit HaMikdash, is that Mishkan. And the unification of the Or and the Kli, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, of the Mamarot and the Dibrot, of the vessel and the content, is what then allows us to plow forward and then build the Mishkan. Rav Hashem, hopefully something is worth thinking about here. It's not of mine, but of Chazal's over the next few days. And we will pick up, please, over the next week, read Parshat Mishpatim. It's a very dense parsha of a lot of mitzvot. Read it through, think about it, internalize it, and just process these messages, Bezrat Hashem, and we'll pick up with Parshat Mishpatim on Monday.